Can you believe it's 2020? It's the third decade of the third millennium after Jesus' birth. It's a lot of history, isn't it? Now, to be clear, we don't believe in superstitions or astrological signs. Seasons come and go, years pass by. One day is just as meaningful as the next. This year isn't particularly special just because it ends in a zero. But as we enter into a new decade, we can't help but think, what lies ahead of us? What lies ahead for the Church of Jesus Christ? So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to think about how we can dedicate the year 2020 to the Lord. How we can dedicate the coming decade to Jesus, how we can put Him first, how we can give ourselves over to helping the Church of Jesus Christ to grow and expand and the kingdom of God to continue to reach to the very ends of the earth, how we as individuals can grow in faithfulness and in love, how we can grow in our witness to Jesus Christ. So next Sunday, we're going to talk about sharing Jesus' love, and we're going to focus on mission and outreach and how we take Jesus' love into the world. And then the following Sunday, 2 weeks from today, we're going to talk about how we can honor Jesus, get this, in an election year. Right? It's an election year. How can we remain faithful to Jesus Christ through the divisiveness and the tensions that will certainly come? Any time now, people are going to start running for president, right? So we'll think about how we can honor Jesus even in an election year. But today we want to start by thinking about how we can listen to the Holy Spirit in the new year. How we can find wisdom and guidance from God so that we can become more like Jesus. And that's what we always do, what we always hope to do, but certainly, that's what we should be dedicating ourselves to do as we think about how we can make this coming year a good year. We can dedicate it to Jesus. So if you haven't yet made your New Year's resolution, or if you've already broken yours, now you're looking for a new one, try this one. This year, I want to listen more carefully and faithfully to the Holy Spirit. That'll make for a good year, won't it? If we all do that, it will make a difference in the church. Imagine if every Christian in Rockford listened to the Holy Spirit more carefully and more faithfully in the coming year. Imagine if every follower of Jesus all throughout the world did that. What a difference it would make as we invite God's power, the power of the Spirit, to work in and through each one of us. Of all the blessings that God has given you in this life, the greatest one, the greatest blessing God has given you for this life is His presence in your life. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the active power of God at work in your life. God's power flows through you every single moment of every single day because you are a follower of Jesus. So if you want to improve your life, if you want to be a better person, if you want to reach higher goals in the new year, then begin by listening to the Holy Spirit. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's a passage you may not be all that familiar with, but it speaks to the Spirit's power and presence in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're starting halfway through verse 10. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. I'll read a few more verses in just a minute. But let me start by saying this. We believe in the Trinity. Right, the triune God. This is centerpiece of Christian theology. We know God, one God, as three persons or three manifestations of God. There's God the Father, the Creator, the Almighty God. We know God as Jesus, the Son of God. We just celebrated His birth. Jesus came to earth and He lived for us and He died for us and He rose again. We know Jesus as the second person of the Trinity. And then there's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the presence of God who lives within us. Jesus promised that His followers would receive the presence and power of God in our lives. And we know that power through the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is essential to Christian theology. We can't fully know God without knowing all things about God. And one of the ways that we seek to know about God is by understanding the Trinity. It is essential to our experience of faith to understand that the Holy Spirit lives within every believer. And that means you and me. The Spirit is God's living presence within us. So God is alive in your life. God lives in your heart. The God who created the world lives inside of you. The God who took on flesh as Jesus the Savior lives inside of you. The God who is mighty and powerful and glorious lives inside of you. The God who loves you and watches over you, not just from afar, not just up on a throne in heaven, but the God who loves you and watches over you from right, very close inside of you. And so we begin with this truth today, that we listen to the Holy Spirit because the Spirit is God. Paul writes here, the Spirit knows the thoughts of God. And that might seem obvious to us. If the Spirit is God, then of course the Spirit would know what God thinks. But think about what that means for us. Through the Holy Spirit, we have access to the very thoughts of God, to the wisdom of God, to the truth of God, to the knowledge of God. We have access to the very perfect will and purposes of God for your life and for my life and for the world. We can understand those things because the Spirit lives within us. And that's why we listen to the Holy Spirit, so that we can hear the voice of God. It's a remarkable gift that He's given us. That's the first amazing truth here, but there's more. And so let me read a couple more verses. Verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Abraham Lincoln, during the fierce battles and strife of the Civil War, was asked once if he believed that God was on his side. In other words, do you believe God is blessing what you're doing? Is God on your side? And Abraham Lincoln responded famously, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right." There's a lot of truth in that, isn't it? That's really what we're talking about today. How we can stay on God's side. To think and act and speak in ways that make us more like Jesus. And how could we possibly do that? How could we possibly know what God wants us to do and think and say unless we listen to God? And we listen to God by listening to the Holy Spirit. We want to know and follow God's will. And in order to do that, we need to listen to God instead of listening to all of the other voices around us. And so we want to think about that for just a minute. We listen to the Holy Spirit instead of listening to the world. Instead of listening to the world. You see, our lives are shaped by who we listen to. And if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, if you're not listening to God, then you are going to listen to somebody else or something else. Maybe it'll be celebrities. They've got some wisdom to share, at least they think they do. Maybe it'll be the politicians. They never run out of things to say. Maybe it'll be the media. 24/7, turn on the TV. They will tell you what you're supposed to think. Whoever gets our attention, that's who we'll listen to if it's not the Holy Spirit. Do you know what social media influencers are? It's a new buzzword in our generation. Social media influencers. That's what Twitter and YouTube call the people who post on their sites. They are social media influencers. It's become an occupation. Did you know this? People can make... My kids have to tell me this. I don't believe it. People make millions of dollars a year by posting videos on YouTube. They're paid to do this. And I'll get back to that in just a minute, why they would possibly be paid to do that. But they post their videos, they give their opinions online. What's interesting about that is that what they say, what they post, what they write may or may not be true. Nobody checks it. There is no editor who checks all the facts that they send out there. No, you just post it. They're influencers because people listen to them. They watch their videos, they read their posts. The more clicks they get, the more views they get, the more money they make. That's how it works. It also means the greater influence they will have over their audience. Because the more clicks they get and the more times people watch their videos, the higher up they go on the search results, which then leads to more people clicking and watching their videos and reading their posts, and it perpetuates itself and they gain more and more influence. Now that may sound silly and weird to you, but that's the world we live in. And the truth is that the folks behind all this have figured out something about people, and that is that we are influenced by what we see and hear. And the more we hear and see something, the more influence that thing has over us. That is exactly the business model of social media companies. Do you ever wonder why you don't pay for YouTube or Twitter or Google? Why it's all free? Because you are not their customer. I'm going to really blow your mind here. You are their product. They sell access to your mind. And they make billions of dollars a year by selling access to the minds of millions of people all over the world. They sell influence over your life. Of course they're going to give it to you for free. My hope and prayer for us in the new year is that the Holy Spirit will be our primary influencer. Will be the one that we turn to for wisdom and truth and to guide us through life in ways that will please God. That we will listen to the Holy Spirit, not just in matters of faith and spirituality. And that's another lie that I think the world has gotten a lot of people to fall for these days. Just keep your faith inside the church. Keep it inside your home. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it out into the world. Don't let it influence anyone else. No, but that we will listen to the Holy Spirit for how we treat people. That we will listen to the Spirit for the things that we prioritize, that matter most in our lives. That we'll listen to the Holy Spirit for the big decisions that we make, the life-changing decisions, but also for the everyday things. What am I going to do this afternoon? How am I going to spend my time? Who is going to influence the way you spend your time? Who's going to influence how you spend your money? Will we listen to the Holy Spirit when it comes to the decisions of our lives? So the big question for us as we kind of reach this point, thinking about the Spirit's influence over our lives, is how does the Spirit speak to us? We know about YouTube. We know about Twitter. How does the Spirit speak? How does the Holy Spirit influence us? Let me share four ways that the Holy Spirit can speak into our lives, starting with the most important, and that is that the Spirit speaks through Scripture, through the Bible. If you want to hear God's voice, you have access to it every moment of your life simply by opening up the Bible. And God will speak to you, His Word, speaking into your life. The Spirit inspired the writing of Scripture. The Spirit has protected and preserved the Bible for thousands of years. And then as we sit down and read the Word, the Spirit illuminates, brings the Word to life, and brings it into our hearts, into our minds, in ways that can impact how we live. So the Spirit speaks through Scripture. The Spirit also speaks through the church. That is, the Spirit may speak to you through other believers. Maybe through one other person, but maybe through the collective wisdom of the church. We hope as we make decisions as a church, as we gather for small groups and Bible studies, that we are together listening to God's Word, listening to the Holy Spirit, and then being guided together in the directions that God wants us to go. Even through the history of the church, as theology is developed, as God has been at work through the centuries of church history, and we see God's hand providing for His people and directing and correcting sometimes. I think that's happening a lot today. The church is in need of correction from the Holy Spirit. And we see the Spirit working through the history of the church. When preachers stand up to preach, if the preacher is preaching from God's Word, the Holy Spirit can speak. Not that it's my words that you need to listen to, but in that I proclaim God's Word, it's the Holy Spirit that can carry God's Word into your heart. A third way the Holy Spirit can speak through special revelation. This one might be a little uncomfortable for you, but through visions, through dreams, through words of prophecy. We just finished the Christmas season, those stories in Advent as we read about Zechariah and the angel appearing to him, and then Mary, an angel appearing to Mary, and Joseph also. And we read those stories and think, oh, it's just in the Bible, angels don't ever come and talk to me. Well, they could. The Holy Spirit could speak directly to you and in miraculous ways that happens today. And we need to keep our hearts open to however the Spirit may speak. And it might be that the Spirit will speak directly into your life. And you will have this overwhelming sense of what God is saying to you. A fourth way that the Spirit can speak is through your maturing mind of faith. And let me explain what that means. As we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, as we grow in our faith, the things that we desire will slowly and over time and as we mature change from sinful desires to more and more desiring the things of God. And I hope you found that in your own life of faith. That as you've grown in your knowledge of God, as you've read the Bible more, as you worship and pray more, as you listen to the Spirit more, that you will begin to want things that God wants for you. Now, a word of caution about all four of these, really about the last three. The Spirit can speak in all these ways, but all of them have to fall under the authority of Scripture. Because the Spirit would never say something to you today that contradicts what the Spirit has already said in God's Word. And so anytime you think the Spirit might be saying something to me, or anytime we as a church might think, oh, the Spirit is directing us in this way or that way, we need to go back and make sure that it lines up with, that there's some confirmation in God's Word. And so we bring it back to Scripture, which is where the Spirit most often and most clearly speaks to us. We need to seek that confirmation. Let me finish the passage, just three more verses here. Verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. These verses might be a little confusing at first, but I think this is what it's saying to us, that we listen to the Holy Spirit so that we can discern what is right and good. That's why we listen to the Spirit. I've said this before, that you can't blame people of the world for acting like the world. And that's what Paul's writing here. People without the Spirit, they don't accept the things that come from the Spirit because they're not filled with the Spirit. Seems like foolishness to them. When the world acts like the world, we shouldn't be surprised. They're not trying to act like Jesus. They're not trying to listen to the Spirit. They're not reading God's Word. Of course, they're not going to live the way that God would want us to live. But we should know better. We don't have that excuse. We do listen to the Spirit. We do read God's Word. We should be able to discern what is right from what is wrong, and what is good from what God would say is not good. This is what we call morality. In the year 2020, our culture has forgotten what morality is. Our culture doesn't believe in that anymore. It's an old-fashioned thing. People live as though right and wrong no longer exist. That's our world. Morality asks, what is good? And as Christians, we ask a deeper question. We ask, what does God say is good? What does God say is right? What is the right way to raise our children? What is the right way to treat our neighbors? How can I live a good life? What good can I accomplish today? Those are the questions of morality. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit, then we will be able to discern what is good and what is right. Not according to the world's standards. Not according to what my selfish, sinful desires might say. But we will be able to discern what God says is good and right. So I want to encourage you, and all of us as a church family, to make a New Year's resolution, to commit to making 2020 a good year, to do good things. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's invite God's voice to have more influence in our lives than anything else. Let's become more like Jesus in all that we do. Now, as we kick off this new year, we are also invited, as we always do, to return to a place where the church has been united for 2,000 years. And that is, we're going to return to the communion table. We're going to return to this great ceremony of faith, where we remember what it is that makes us who we are, that Jesus died for our sins and then rose again.